Figure Facts for Life.
We just want you to be healthy.
Health and happiness.
If you pay attention to what goes in your body, you'll be amazed at the results.
Fuel, nourish, and heal your body.
Eating healthy, well, that's everything.
Put the right fuel in. Take care of your engine.
Here's Roberta Gennaro.
Welcome to Figure Facts for Life. I'm your host, Roberta Gennaro. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist with over 30 years clinical nutrition experience. I'm committed to share my expertise and the expertise of my colleagues to better help you fuel, nourish, and heal your body for good health and for a great life. I am excited to share with you today the topic of osteoporosis and why. Am I excited to share that with you? Well, first of all, it's May, and May is National Osteoporosis Awareness Month. And if you've noticed, I've been kind of focusing the podcast around these health awareness month topics because I want to get the word out and really help people to prevent certain conditions. And one of them is definitely osteoporosis. I mean, did you know that 1 in 2 women and up to 1 in 4 men over the age of 50 will break a bone due to osteoporosis? It's scary, but it's preventable. And one of the things too that a lot of people don't realize is that what you do as far as fueling your body as a child impacts your bone health as you move into your 20s and 30s, and then again, you know, into those golden years of your life. So just a little fact is that the key bone building years of your life are from age 9 to 18. Greatest amount in bone density is achieved around between 25 years of age and 30 years of age. So it's so important what you're eating to make sure that you're actually able to build and then also achieve that peak bone mass in your 30s, so that as you age and your hormone levels change, especially in women, that tend to cause increased resorption or calcium coming off the bones as we age because of those hormonal changes, you're going to help thwart that and actually help yourself maintain a stronger frame. Another fact is 1/4 of childhood injuries include fractures that could have been prevented by better nutrition. And I just want to share a little example with you before I bring on my guest. I had a young girl, a teenager, who was on the soccer team, and she kicked a soccer ball with her heel and it shattered. When her doctor, her orthopedic surgeon, sent her to me, I noted that her diet had next to no calcium in it. So here's a teenager who kicks a ball and literally shatters the heel of her foot. So with that, I wanted to bring on a guest that does a lot of research in this area, and I'm going to share with you now, you know, her expertise. Her name is Shirin Hushmand, and she is a PhD, an associate professor at the School of Exercise and Nutritional Sciences at San Diego State University. She's done extensive research in the bone reversal effects of foods, bioactive compounds. And I know that's a mouthful, but she's going to explain. Also, her current research includes over 45 original articles that are published in journals. And that includes research looking at bone and calcium metabolism, nutritional factors that influence your skeletal and muscular aging, and including osteoporosis and osteoarthritis. She's also a great ambassador for the National Osteoporosis Foundation. So I want to give a warm welcome to Shirin Hushmand. Hi, Shirin.
Hi, thank you very much for the nice introduction and beautiful explanation about osteoporosis, giving awareness about Osteoporosis Month. And, you know, this is great. I'm glad to be here and talk to you.
Thank you. So let's talk a little bit about, I think when people think about bone health, they think about calcium rich foods. And primarily, you know, that's been associated with the food group. But let's talk about calcium-rich sources, including non-dairy sources or choices.
Sure. So calcium is perhaps the most essential nutrient when it comes to bone health. As we know, bones are living tissue and constantly in a state of turnover. Bone doesn't come with a lifetime guarantee. As you explained, you know, it's a lifelong process of reaching that peak bone mass and then being able to maintain that bone density. Mm-hmm. So it needs continuous maintenance or they can weaken and break.
Absolutely.
If your diet is low in calcium, your body will take calcium from your bones to keep blood calcium at normal levels. So, you know, as you perfectly explained, we have to be aware of this situation for all our lifetime, basically.
Yes.
For a lifetime of healthy bones, we should consume, make sure that we are consuming 3 servings of low-fat or fat-free milk or other dairy products every day. So supplement our diet with calcium, and it can be from calcium-fortified foods and beverages if we can't, or we can't consume milk.
Yes, either if you can't or you choose not to, because, you know, my last podcast was talking mm-hmm. about food allergies, and so there are some children that, you know, because they're allergic to milk, and dairy products can maybe not consume them for a while. Maybe they'll outgrow that eventually, mm-hmm. but for that time being, they definitely, you know, we had a dietitian on who was talking about, you know, how she can help the mom, the parents actually, you know, make sure that the child's diet has enough calcium in it. You know, I want to mm-hmm. also mention, when I was in grad school, we had a study where the grad students were invited to consume all our meals at the school, mm-hmm. and they were looking for how long it took to go into negative calcium balance, and it mm-hmm. took 3 days. We were on 400 milligrams of calcium a day, and it took 3 days for us to go into negative calcium balance. So let's talk a little bit about the requirements for calcium.
Sure. So if we are talking about younger population,
yes.
so if we go for, like, you know, let's say ages 4 to 8, they kind of need 1,000 milligram of calcium per day.
And that's what the food labels are based on, correct, as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's what you would see for, for food labels. And then that's what food labels mostly for adults. We go from 90 to 50, you know, we talk about 1,000 milligram calcium. And for women, as you also mentioned, you know, because of the hormonal status changes, our calcium requirements become higher when we are older than 50. And for men is when they are over age 70. So that changes to 1,200 milligram per day.
Right.
And
just so people know, too, when you look at the food label and it says like 30% calcium, because that's mm-hmm. based on 1,000 milligram requirement,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that all you have to do is add a zero to understand how many milligrams are in that. So a 30% calcium content on a label is actually equaling 300 milligrams of calcium. So just a little lesson there for that.
Yes.
But
yes.
in addition to calcium and vitamin D, what other nutrients contribute to bone health?
There are really other nutrients that are important for your bone. Just to, like, finish up something on the calcium. Just,
yes,
we talked
absolutely.
About dairy products, but I also wanted to emphasize in, other foods that you can get calcium from them. So
okay.
if you're not, you know, not consuming dairy, then there are going to be beverages and, like, non-dairy products that they also have calcium and vitamin D these days added to them. And we want to also think about dark green vegetables. They also have, calcium, a source of calcium. So some of those were some of the, sources that we should consider when we talk about calcium. But
right.
for other nutrients, you know, as important as calcium is your vitamin D for your bones. So research shows vitamin D plays an important role along with calcium in our bone health. Vitamin D aids in absorption of calcium and also phosphorus. That's important for your bones. So help brings calcium and phosphorus to our bone, to our teeth, regulates how much calcium remains in our blood, plays an important role in our immune system and cell growth. So overall, vitamin D really plays an important role in our calcium metabolism and therefore for our bone.
I know in the Midwest
sure.
now, most of the physicians uh-huh. are actually testing for vitamin D levels. For the longest mm-hmm. time, I don't think they were looking at that. And, there's definitely
yeah.
a lot of symptoms related to, low vitamin D level. And we don't get that much sun in the Midwest like you do in California,
yes.
Right?
yes.
Or my dad gets in Florida. Yeah,
I know. But, you know, as you just mentioned that, because vitamin D is also known as sunshine vitamin, so we have the ability in our body to convert sunshine into vitamin D after it hits our skin, even though it should be unprotected. So if you have sunscreen on, you know, we are not doing that conversion.
Right. Now, what are they recommending? Like no more than 10 minutes exposure without?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's enough to give you, that's enough to give you a little bit, right? Of the vitamin D converting the inactive form of vitamin D in your skin to its active form through sunlight. So
true.
Let's because we're just moving so quickly on this podcast.
Know.
But I've heard that you've done a lot of studies with prunes and dried plums and how they can improve bone density. And I thought that is so unique. And I really want to share that with our listeners.
Sure.
Can you explain some of your findings regarding dried plums and maybe some other fruits and vegetables that are beneficial for bone health?
Sure. So in general, you know, fruits and vegetables consumption has been linked to higher bone mineral density. Among fruits, we have specifically worked with prunes or dried plum. They're basically the same thing, you know, just different names, but they're same. And they have been shown to be helping with promoting bone health. So if probably the first question that you or your audience will ask is like, what in the prune? So prune has nutrients that reported to influence bone health, including, you know, boron, potassium, vitamin K. So it doesn't have calcium or vitamin D. You know, there are other nutrients in prune that can help with bone health. And so there are lots of preclinical and cell culture studies done with prune in terms of bone health. I'm just going to focus on few of the clinical studies, human studies that we have done.
Okay.
So, you know, just give you a short explanation of what's going on. So
right.
There have been completed 3 clinical studies that they looked at the effect of the prune in bone health, all 3 in postmenopausal women. So the shortest one was a 3-month study in postmenopausal women who consume 100 grams prunes per day.
What does that equate to as far as how many prunes?
Number.
Yes.
So that's kind of equal to 10 prunes per day.
Okay.
And that resulted in increasing their bone biomarkers of bone turnover. And these were all osteopenic postmenopausal women. So postmenopausal women with a little bit bone loss.
Now, did it matter if they consumed? Did they consume all those prunes in one sitting or were they spread throughout the day?
No, you can spread it throughout the day. It's really hard to have it all at once. And, you know, you can basically have it as often as you would like. And then we continued this study with a 1-year-long study. And we also, again, looked at 100 osteopenic postmenopausal women who consume, again, 100 gram prunes for a year. And in this study, again, we saw that prune was able to prevent bone loss. This time we measured their bone density. So we confirmed that prune was able to prevent bone loss in osteopenic postmenopausal women. The result of this study is published in British Journal of Nutrition in year 2011. So if someone is interested to look it up.
Okay.
And then we were like, you know, kind of like, can we go lower in 100 grams? So because 100 grams is working, but we would like to see if lower dose is effective. So we did a study compared 5 to 6 prunes to, you know, 10 to 11 prunes.
Okay.
So we had 2 different doses for 6 months. And actually, we saw in postmenopausal women who were 65 to 79 years old with some degree of bone loss that 5 to 6 was as effective as 10 to 11 prunes per day.
Oh, that's good news, right?
Bone loss. Yes.
Did you have anybody concerned that they were going to, you know, a lot of times prune or prune juice is associated with, you know, alleviating constipation in people. So any issues with that in the study?
We kind of like monitored their bowel movement, and in older population, at least everyone was happy. So 100% compliance, really nobody complained about, you know, prune. But the younger, like, you know, 50 to 65 years old, you know, postmenopausal women, they sometimes complain about, having too many bowel movements. But again, this is about, like, you know, knowing how to add fiber to your diet. So
yes.
Prune has a lot of fiber, has a lot of sorbitol. So So if you're smart about how to add fiber to your diet, then you're actually getting the benefit of having additional fiber in your diet as well. So you don't want to have prune on an empty stomach.
Right.
You know, you want to have it after you have meal in your stomach, and that would slow down that problem.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. And the other thing, too, if I'm correct, prunes are really high on the antioxidant list, right? Are they like at the top?
Yes. They are, in terms of, in comparison to dried fruits, they're really one of the toppest in terms of antioxidants. So a lot of the bone protective effects is also because of its antioxidant property. And as you mentioned, the bioactive compounds, so they have really good polyphenol content that, you know, it's acting synergistically with other nutrients that it has, and it's helping bone.
Okay, so let's talk about components of the diet that may, in fact, maybe be not so good for our bones, like protein, for example. Let's touch on protein and what the research shows.
Sure. So I'm going to say protein is good for your bone, you know, but you want to stay within your range. So what is recommended for us, which is going, you know, from 0.8 to 1.3 gram per kilogram, that's what you we want to stay within range of the recommendation for our diet. And, you know, that has been shown to be effective in terms of helping our bone. But we want to avoid excessive, like, sodium intake, especially from our processed food. Well, there are questions in terms of, like, you know, how about, like, coffee and my, you know, bone. So coffee is good, but, again, we want to limit it. You know, the intake of 2 to 3 cups per day, that's fine. But, again, we want to make sure that we are avoiding excessive intake of that. And also that goes with soda as well. If that's replacing, you know, the milk in our diet and, you know, beverages that are higher in calcium, then we want to avoid that excessive intake.
Right. So as far as the literature shows, are they looking at a certain amount of protein at a meal being, you know, where it's not going to have a negative impact? Is there a certain ounce amount or anything like that?
It's really just, you know, a dietary protein and bone health paper has been just published over the last 40 years of research, just, you know, last month. So they have really reviewed the last 40 years. Any study that has been conducted to see how it's affecting. And this, you know, systematic review and meta-analysis is showing that what is the recommendation. That is, as I said, you know, kind of let's, if we go 1 gram per kilogram, that's, you know, easier to just remember. There is no, you know, harm in taking that much protein for our bone. Actually, if anything, it's positive effect.
Okay.
But you are right about, like, being worried about protein because in general, in the United States, our diet is high in protein. Okay.
Well, but and there's, you know, there's a lot of people out there. We've talked a little bit about some kind of fad diets and stuff, and they all tend to lean towards a very high protein intake. And I'm just, you know, really concerned because people are doing these diets and they're not under the care of a dietitian to make sure that they are supplementing calcium if they need it. And they're not getting it through the diet to offset, right? To offset.
Yeah.
The other thing people need to know, too, is there an upper limit or too? Can you get too much calcium?
Well, you can't. From your diet, you should be fine. You know, there's no really too much calcium if you're going by your diet. But if you go with supplements, then you want to monitor how much you're taking from your diet and how much you're taking from the supplement. And, you know, and I always, I guess, you know, all of us as dietitians would go food first just because the food that has calcium is not only calcium that's in that food, right?
Yes,
there are
lots
of other nutrients that are important. So for sure, going food first.
Okay, fabulous. Well, Sharon, I just want to thank you. This time went so fast, but I think we've shared some really cool and important information with our listeners. So I want to thank you for joining me today. That's Sharon Hushmand. And again, she's a professor at San Diego State University in their exercise and nutritional sciences area. Thank you for listening to Figure Facts for Life. We really want to provide information that's cutting edge nutrition information and research so that you can apply that to your life, but also think about reaching out to a registered dietitian. You can check out my website at figurefacts.com and you can reach out to me through the contact page there. Please stay in the know. Like us on Facebook and Instagram at Figure Facts LLC. Have a great day. I'm Roberta Gennaro and ciao for now.